Amen. Amen. Well, God is speaking. Hey, everybody. Good morning. I want to welcome everybody that's joining us online and on our campus here at Crossline. I want to say hi to my chapel friends and say hi to my patio friends. We're kicking off a series today, and it's called Could It Be? And we're asking the question of questions. You're like, what's the question of questions? The question of questions right now in this global and cultural moment is, what is God up to? Amen? What is God up to in the midst of this craziness and this disruption that we're all experiencing as individual men and women, as families, as people trying to do relationships, and as a collective, as a church, moving forward? You know, I think everybody can agree that there was the life that we thought we would live and the things we thought we would do in 2020, and then there's the life that the circumstances demanded that we live. And the circumstances demanded that we do. And if you're a person of faith, there's the life that you thought you would live and you're praying for and God for 2020. Then there's the life that God has called you to live. And the question is this: is it God's plan to return everything in our lives back to the way they were? It's a big question. We don't even know if we can get back there. We don't know if things are going to return to normal. So is it God's plan to just go back to the way life was? Or could it be that behind the disruptions that we are experiencing right now in our world and culture, that God is orchestrating some needed and some new directions for you personally, some needed and new directions for your relationships, some needed and new directions for your ministry, some needed and new directions for the church worldwide and for this family of believers? Could it be that God is present and he's moving and he's speaking and he's advancing his plans? Because when we read the Bible, we see that God has a pattern, and his pattern is to use disruption to forcefully and lovingly get our attention, trigger a new direction, and bring us to a new destination. Let's say that together. Get our attention, trigger a new direction, and bring us to a new destination. Yeah, that's how God works with his people. And that's what we're working through. You see, because there's a tension I know that I have in my life, and the tension's this: I liked the way things were going before all of this craziness started. I don't know about you, but I was pretty comfortable in it, and there was a direction, and I had projects, and I had plans, and there were events coming up, and then all of that just, you know, got postponed. But here's the thing. I liked my old life. I liked my old flow, but God, in his new and better chapter that he's writing, he doesn't need my old flow, and he doesn't need my old life. Amen? God's bigger than my flow of life before kind of the craziness and disruption started. You know, there's been a profound shift, right? Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Can you name the song? Closing Time, that's right, from the great theologian Semisonic, right? Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, right? Or to use a spiritual metaphor, you can't be in Egypt and you can't be in Canaan at the same time. You can't be where you are and where God's taking you at the same time. You can't have the old structure and flow of your life and be in God's built new and better structure that serves his purposes at the same time. You see, you can look backward or you can look forward, but you can't be doing both at the same time. You can't be grieving the loss of what was and be excited at the same time about what's to come, right? So we need to be looking forward in faith because God is moving forward. Jesus said the kingdom of God is advancing forcefully, and forceful people lay hold of it. God's kingdom's moving forward with or without us, and he's got a future for us, and he has a destination for us, and it's our job to kind of work with him. But our world is experiencing a shift. And the question that we're all wrestling with is, God over this shift? Is God still in control? Is God sovereign? The answer is yes. This isn't catching God by surprise. Your circumstances may change, but God's kingdom hasn't. Your circumstances might have changed, but God's plan for your life hasn't. He's creating new advances of his work in you and through you. He's creating new movements through this disruption. He's creating new communities. I've met so many new people over the last several months where there's just, God is calling new people to himself and calling people to this new community of believers. He's creating new directions. He's at work. So here's the question. Do you see that? Will you be a part of it? And will we, as a church family, and as the church, embrace this new chapter that God has for us together? So here's where we're going. Part one today, our theme is, could it be? And we're going to look at disruptions and God's intentions in disruptions from the Bible. In part two, next week, the theme's going to be, could it be? And then we're going to say, yes, it is. Yes, God is using this season powerfully, and we don't want to miss what he wants to do in us or in our relationships or for his kingdom through his church. And then part three in a couple of weeks is, could it be full send? All right, we're all going into this next chapter together, and we as your pastoral team don't want anybody to miss. We don't want anybody left behind. We are all going to jump in, and we're all going to go through it together. So that's where we're headed. Now, if you have your message notes, you can take those out. We're going to dive in. We're going to look at God's intentions in the disruptions. All right. Now, when you think about what got disrupted in 2020, you can just start ticking them off. Church got disrupted. All vacations got disrupted. All concerts, all sports got disrupted. The NFL got disrupted, the NBA got disrupted, Major League Baseball got disrupted, right? All traditions, all events, all graduations. My daughter graduated from college. It was supposed to be a pinnacle from my alma mater, UCLA, and we watched a Zoom call on television for my daughter's summa cum laude graduation from UCLA. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm saying, they're going to invite you back. Really, honey, they're going to invite you back. They're going to do something different. You know what else got canceled? Smiling. Smiling got canceled. Hugging got canceled, you know, except for the brave ones, right, among us, who are like, I'm coming in anyway. I don't care if I get COVID, right? So hugging kind of got canceled. Everything got disrupted. And on your notes, I put the definition of disruptive. It's the disruption. It's the act or process of disrupting something, a break or interruption in the normal course and continuation of some activity or process. And I'm going to ask the question again, is God over this disruption? Is he over these shifts? Is he using them in our lives? Because the Bible reveals a personal God with a personal plan and personal intentions. And guess what? His personal plans, they mess with your personal plans. You ever figure that out? His personal plan and intention, as he is sovereign and over the world and things happen, he is within them, he's over them, he's using them, and his plan is going forward like a locomotive. Whether we get on the train or not. But the Bible reveals that God has a personal plan. And we have to get that about God, that our circumstances have changed, but God's plan has not. Let's say that together. Our circumstances have changed, but God's plan has not. In fact, God likes to remind us in Scripture that when we get really set and comfortable in our ways, that his ways aren't our ways. And in the Bible, in Isaiah 57, it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Boy, isn't that true and a good passage of Scripture to remind ourselves what's really going on right now? God's got a whole different plan. And we had a plan, but the plan's been kind of disrupted. And now we're in that tension of, do I want to resurrect the old plan and really hang on to it? Or is God up to something? Do I need to connect to his higher ways and his higher thoughts and get involved with that? Now, Jesus in the New Testament was pretty regular about disrupting the plans of the disciples. You know, the first disruption was, hey, follow me. That was a disruption. I got to leave the pole here. You know, yeah, leave the fishing pole there. follow me, right? Kind of a disruption when you think about it. He's going to drop everything and follow him and follow this guy, and he's making wild claims, and but he's doing cool stuff, and there's something about him, so I'm going to follow him, right? There's a passage in Mark 4:35 where we have another one of these moments, and it's just Jesus with, you know, some folks who are following him. And you roll the film in Mark 4:35. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with me. So check this out. There's this big group of people on shore. There's some boats. And everybody's just kind of chilling. And then in the middle of it getting dark, Jesus just goes, hey, what do you say we go for a night ride? All right, let's go for a little ride in the boat. And some people stay on the shore, and the other people do what? They get in the boat, right? And notice that Jesus doesn't say, and when you get in the boat, you're going to wish you hadn't gotten in the boat, because there's gonna be 10-foot breakers coming over the bow, and you're gonna think I don't care. But then you're gonna watch me take command over nature, and then when we get to the other side, after you got in the boat, you're gonna see me take authority over evil directly. You're gonna see me take a kid's sack lunch with a couple barley loaves and fish, and then you're gonna see me feed 5,000 people with it, and then you're gonna see me touch people and they're healed. You're gonna see me say things that it's gonna resonate so deeply, people's lives are gonna transform. I'm gonna touch the ethnically unacceptable, the racially unacceptable, the morally unacceptable. I'm gonna break all the rules. I'm gonna step in and defend women. I'm gonna touch kids and bless them. You're gonna watch me do things as a man that you've never seen anybody do in your life. No, Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side. So do you think getting in the boat required a little bit of faith? Those poor people who stayed on the shore, right? Can you imagine? Hey, remember that day back when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and you stayed on the shore, and you loved terra firma. You wanted to stay, and you didn't get in one of the boats, because there were several boats. There was kind of like a flotilla of boats kind of heading to the other side, right? So the crowd on shore versus the people in the boats, and a step of faith. Can I just say to you, there are some of you who are listening to me speak right now, and you're on the shores of safety, and Jesus is saying, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side as a man, as a husband, as a dad. Let's go to the other side as a wife and as a mother and as a minister for the Lord. Let's go to the other side as someone who wants to serve me. Let's go to the other side, but you know what? I'm doing this thing, and I'm not gonna tell you. I'm gonna keep it a little mysterious, all right? You just gotta get in the boat, because I'm taking you somewhere, I'm bringing you somewhere. So Jesus disrupts. You know, when the era was changing of anticipation of Messiah to, you know, Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming, to Messiah's here, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11:12. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been taken by storm, and eager men are forcing their way into it. You see, when God moves, his kingdom moves powerfully, and he moves with energy. And at that moment, everybody was anticipating Messiah, but guess what? There's a difference between something's coming and something's here. Can I just say something? Something was coming in your life. Something's here. And the disruption is demanding that you seek God and get connected with his plans. And it's gonna take, because the disruption is powerful, it's gonna take a powerful decision. You're gonna have to enter into it, all right? Some of you have had events in your life that have paralyzed you. Then pile on top of that COVID, pile on top of that racial division, pile on that a political election season like we've never seen, pile on top of that all this other depressing stuff. But God's saying, guess what? Those things are happening, but my plan is going forward, and I want you to get into the boat with me and take a step. It's time for new to begin. Amen, church? It's time for new, and new doesn't demand new circumstances for you. New demands an attitude of the heart and a perspective and vision of God. So let's now look for the rest of our time at disruptions and destinations. And I want to take us to a little vignette in the scripture where there is massive disruption going on. All right, God has a people. He's moving his people to a new destination. It's taken a little longer than they thought. All right, but they're moving from the disruption of the wilderness to the destination of the promised land. All right, they're moving from a promise to realizing the promise. And we kind of pick up the story in Deuteronomy 8. We're gonna read the first 9 verses, then we're gonna unpack it verse by verse. And what I want you to listen for when I read the passage is I want you to sense and look for God's concern as they're moving from disruption, right? They went from Egypt, then they got displaced, and now he's moving them to a new destination. And there's a mindset and an attitude that God is hoping and praying that they adopt as they're moving from disruption to his destination. And Moses is the mouthpiece. Moses is God's man. And this is what he says to the people moving from disruption to God's destination from the Lord. Verse 1, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vine and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. It's a good Thanksgiving meal. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And that is the word of the Lord. Amen. So let's unpack it. All right, let's see what's within the disruption that God is concerned about and how he's coaching them in to this new dimension and this new space. Number one, within the disruption is God's exhortation. If you're taking notes, write that down. It's just a synonym for exhortation is God's encouragement, God's counsel, God's caution. So within this disruption, God is speaking and he's really concerned, and there's an encouragement, there's counsel, there's a caution. In verse 1, he says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Not a bad picture, right? What's God saying? In the disruption, you need to focus spiritually. Right now, as there is a disruptive time and it's kind of chaotic and confusing, what does God want me to do? He wants to focus me spiritually. You know, I read a study from the Joshua Fund. They surveyed 5,000 people. Over 50% said that COVID was their wake-up call with God. How about that? They're focusing spiritually. Why? Because when things are chaotic and confusing, you know, you come back to the center and you come back to your anchor. And if you know God, he's your anchor. And so I put just a few words out of that passage there for us to focus on and to let God use. Now, we focus energy spiritually. Why? Because God wants to expand our lives. That's what it means to live and increase, right? That's everybody's goal, isn't it? I want to live and increase. I don't want to live and decrease. I want to expand my territory. I want to use my gifts. I want to grow as a person. I want my family to grow. It's a picture of expansion. And God's saying, you know, in this disruption, you need to focus spiritually. Why? Because if you focus spiritually, you're going to live and you're going to increase. I want that. Do you want that? And then he says, so that you can enter and possess. It's this new place. You got to enter the new place. I got to focus spiritually so that my life can expand and God's intentions for me can expand, but I'm going to enter a new space. Now, I don't know what the space is in your life. Maybe you're single and maybe you enter a new relational space. Maybe someone in your life is missing and then you enter a new space. Maybe there's a health issue and then that clears up and you enter a new space of life and health. I don't know what the new space is. Maybe you're married and things aren't going so well and maybe you're gonna enter a new space. But you know what the key is to all of this? Is to listen to God's counsel and listen to God's exhortation and listen to God's caution. Focus spiritually. Question, are you focused spiritually right now? You're here, that's a great start. Keep focusing spiritually. Why? Because God wants you to live and increase and enter and possess. Let's say those four words. Live, increase, enter, and possess. Why? Because through the disruption, God's bringing you to a new destination. There's a whole new chapter of your life. If your heart is beating right now, there's a new chapter of your life God wants to begin. And he's using this time to just kind of focus you spiritually. So what's God saying to us, church? He's saying, focus spiritually because I'm moving powerfully. God is moving powerfully at Crossline Church. God's moving powerfully across the world. God is bringing revival through this disruption to the Church of Jesus Christ, and this is one of the places where he's doing it, and you're a part of it. And he's saying to you right now, focus spiritually because I'm moving powerfully. How many of you are at the men's retreat, fourth session Sunday service? Anybody? I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. That was like Acts chapter 2. It was like Pentecost. I mean, there's guys with their hands raised. There's people getting baptized. The gospel's being proclaimed. Men crossing the line. I mean, I've never been a part of a worship service ever like that in my life. And you know when that happened? In the middle of a disruption. God is moving powerfully, so we have to focus spiritually. Number two, within the disruption is God's specific intention. Let's see if, as I read verse 2, if you can spot his specific intention within the disruption. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Isn't that interesting in disruption? When you think you're so in control of your life, then the disruption happens and you realize, I'm so not in control. And what does that do? It humbles you. Makes you a little vulnerable, doesn't it? Softens up your heart, right? Pressure reveals substance. It reveals your inner substance. Pressure and disruption reveals what's inside of you. And some of us went, you know what? There's not a lot of God in there, and I need more God in my life. And you're like, this is humbling. I control nothing. And as we sung today, we surrendered our life to God. Or maybe we surrendered something that we've been holding on to, thinking it was going to give us all this meaning, and then that got disrupted, right? But God has a specific intention in this disruption to humble you, make you soft, to test you, right? To reveal what's in your heart spiritually, to see what is your core affection and what is your core source that you're trusting in right now. A lot of the things that we used to trust in before this time, they don't work during this time. Stuff we used to turn to for comfort, they don't solve this thing. But there's a kingdom moving forward, and there's a God who's over this whole disruption, and he's saying, guess what? I want you to live and increase and enter a new chapter, focus spiritually because I'm moving powerfully. And oh, by the way, my intention during this time is to kind of soften you up a little bit and remind you that I'm God and you're not. And I love you, and I have a plan. And I know you're going through a little bit of testing, but this testing and this pressure is revealing an inner person, and it's okay. I love that inner person. It doesn't matter if you've walked with me or walked far from me or you went after things during this time that you shouldn't have. I just want you to see the real you, and I want to know what's in your heart, and I want to be your core affection, and I want to be the core source that you trust in. So that's God's specific intention within the disruption. So let's just make it really practical. What is God saying to us, church? This disruption is revealing your heart's condition. You see, that's what pressure does. You know, you don't know what you're trusting in until you go to trust it and it works or it doesn't work. You know, but God is over this and God is working. Number three, what God is doing within the disruption is there's God's revelation. Write that down. Within the disruption is God's revelation. Now, revelation, very spiritual word. It's a book of the Bible. All it means is that there's a disclosure of something. When something's revealed, it's no longer hidden, it's disclosed. What's happening right now, as the world is in chaos and there's confusion and we don't know what's gonna happen and the future is unknown, God is supernaturally disclosing his personal motive behind this disruption. He wants to humble you, he wants to test you, he wants to bring you to a new place. He's at work, it's solid, it's sure. You just have to engage it. He's revealing how he's using it. He's revealing what he wants to accomplish. In verses 3-5 of our passage in Deuteronomy 8, Moses reveals what God has revealed. He humbled you, Moses said, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. Listen, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. So within the disruption is God's revelation, and he's teaching God's people dependence. Everybody say dependence. Dependence, yeah. You know, when the pressure's on, you depend on someone or something to get you through it, right? And in this situation, we're talking about the future. I only know one person whose shoulders are big enough to handle the future. And it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're over the future. They know the future. They're already in the future. They're already there, and they're waiting for you to embrace it. And they're wondering, are you going to depend on me and enter into your future that I have planned, or are you going to trust in other things? And so God wants to be trusted. Let's say that together. God wants to be just trusted. And when you have a disruption, God wants you to trust him. They're custom designed to build trust in God. What are you trusting in? I hope it's not your portfolio. I hope it's not who's in the White House. I hope it's not, you know, in the predictability of life. God wants to be trusted, and he wants to be the object of your trust, and he wants to prove to you that he's trustworthy. You know, he reminds his people, you know, some of the things that happened. You know, you trusted me, you were hungry, I fed you, all right? Your clothes got a little bit more wear out of them. You know, that inflammation thing as you're walking in the wilderness, you know, your feet, you know, didn't swell. And God didn't take away the disruption. He met them in the disruption. Can I just tell you, church, that God might not take away the discomfort or the disruption itself, but he's going to meet you in the disruption. Will you find him? Will you meet him? Will you get to know him? I pulled some words out of there. Hunger, feeding, teach, disciplines. Right? There's a hunger and desperation, isn't there? I've seen a lot of people I've never seen on this campus before. You want to know why? Because there's a hunger. There's a hunger to connect to God. There's a hunger to connect to people. There's a hunger out there. It's sort of like, you know, the gophers are popping their heads out. And they're going, gosh, I wonder if people will still go to church. You know, I wonder if God's people are meeting together. You know, and we're one of those places where it's just like, oh, there's Cross Line. And there's just these people that are coming into our fellowship and that God's divinely called to himself and to this body of believers. And they're hungry and he's feeding them. And if that's you, welcome, welcome, welcome. There is more food at the table. We have a big reserve. We have a food pantry too that will feed you. So we will feed you literally and we will feed you spiritually, but you are welcome here. But if you're hungry, God wants to feed you, and he wants to teach you dependence. So we're just a group of ragamuffins that are all depending on God. Amen, church? We're all just learning every day with the circumstances of our lives that in the settings that we are, with the job that we have, with the people that we're connected to, we're just learning that, you know, in the midst of loss or grief or confusion, that we're all just learning to depend on God, that God wants to be trusted, and he wants to prove himself trustworthy. That's what this journey from this group right here is doing, and I hope that's your journey too, wherever you're listening from today. So what's God saying in response to this disruption and his revelation, his supernatural disclosure? Well, I believe that God is saying, you control nothing, but you can depend on me for everything. You control nothing, but you can depend on me for everything, starting with what I say. Do you depend on what God says right now? Meaning, do you hear what he says and internalize what he says and say, I'm going to trust what he says versus trust other sources of information that are trying to take over what you trust in and who you trust in? So God's saying to us, church, yeah, your future's, you know, there's a question mark over it, but guess what? I control that. You control nothing, and you can depend on me for everything. What a promise! Are you trusting in God personally and in faith? Fourth, within the disruption is a preparation. You know, there were some things that God wanted his people doing within the disruption and in their desperation that were going to serve them when they got to their destination. And if they didn't develop those disciplines now, it was all going to go south. You ever notice that when sometimes you get something and you're not ready for that something and it's so great, if you're not disciplined, you can mess up the something that you got? Why? Because there's no consistency of character. There's no discipline. And so when you get blessing, blessing requires character. Let's say that together. Blessing requires character. Right. And God's saying, hey, you're going to get some character? You got to prepare. This time of disruption and desperation and you turning to God and you learning to trust in him. Listen to what he says here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 8. He says this, in the disruption, God says, observe the commands of the Lord, walking in obedience to him and revering him. See, what's God saying? It's like, hey, you're not there yet. I'm bringing you into the good land. You're still in this area. But guess what I want you to do now? I want you to observe what I say and take to heart what I say. And when there's an application of what I say that you can do, do that. Walk in obedience and revere him. Fear the Lord. You know what the Bible says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's right. God uses disruptions to make us wise, doesn't he? It's like disruptions are like God's Etch-a-Sketch board. I'm dating myself. But they were the first iPad, all right? Etch-a-Sketch boards were the first iPad, all right? And they had manual controls, and you move the graphite around. And, you know, disruptions, you know how you clear off an Etch-a-Sketch board, right? You just shake it, just like that. And like, that's what God does in your life. He Etch-a-Sketches your life with a disruption. It's like, well, yeah, this is what you built, a little pretty little thing, but guess what? And it's all blank. It's white. It's like, yeah, but I just drew a car on my Etch-a-Sketch pad. But you see, God wants you to build something new. He wants you to build something new. I'm sorry, your old flow and your old structure, it doesn't fit in God's new destination for your life. He doesn't need it. You think you need it. We think we need it more than God thinks we need it. But he's got something new for us that he's doing. And so there's some preparation. And so I put the three words there, observe, walk, and revere. You see, my lifestyle within the disruption, right, which is fueled by my lack of control and a little desperation. Now I'm listening and I'm observing and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm praying more. And guess what? That lifestyle is going to be the same lifestyle God desires in the new destination. You see, a lot of times we get to the new destination without a disciplined lifestyle in our desperation, and we enter the new destination and we just can't handle it. Can I just tell you, God has a new destination for Crossline Church. And it's full of blessing. It's gushing with blessing. But there is some community and some lifestyle and some connections and some relationship and some disciplines that he wants us to have, where we're learning consistency, we're walking, we're observing, we're worshiping, that's really going to serve us well when he opens the door and ushers in the next chapter of our church. So what's God saying? When circumstances change our life and connection, your connection with God should not. When circumstances change our life, our connection should not with God. See, that's the whole thing. I don't know about you, but when everything's going great, I tend to drift. God always leaves a little room for desperation in my life. Why? Because the desperation creates conversation with him and dependence. And so what's God working into our church family and body right now? It's some discipline. Lastly, within the disruption, write this down, is an active transition. In the last couple of verses, Moses relays what God is up to. And he says this, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." Wow. Do you ever notice that if you perceive that you lack something, you live out of what you feel you lack? If I lack intimacy in my life, I live out of that lack, and I'll pursue any kind of intimacy, even false intimacy, if I perceive that's what I lack. And God's saying, guess what? In his destination, you're going to lack nothing. You're not going to have to live out of what you lack. And I put these four words down, bringing, that means there's motion. Everybody say motion. Motion. God's, we might be sitting here and we might feel like the circumstances are stuck. God's not stuck. There's motion. He's in the active process of bringing you to that next place. And then there's land. That's a space. That's a new space with new dimensions of life and living that you're going to enter into with God. And then I put gushing just because I like saying gushing. It just gushes with meaning and texture, right? But it's full of personal provision. It's gushing. And where God's taking you, he's going to provide for you. Don't be afraid to go there and to let go of that old chapter and start the new one. And then I love this word dig, and maybe you wouldn't have picked that as a fourth word. But you know what? In the desperation and disruption is hidden, buried blessing and treasure that I can go into the hills and I can mine it out and I'm going to discover it for myself. And that's what God wants you to do. There's hidden blessing. Hills in the Bible are challenges. You know, when the psalmist says, my eyes look to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The hills are the challenges. And guess what? God says, you can dig copper out of the hills. Out of the challenge that you face is going to come blessing. And you're going to discover it. I don't know what it is for you. It's a mystery, but I would be doing the things we're talking about now to get there to find that hidden treasure. So what is God saying about this active transition? God is saying, write this down, my process includes my provision and more. You know what I love about mysterious transitions where I don't know what's gonna happen? About 3 or 4 years after the transition, and then I look back, I didn't have foresight before, but now on the other side of the transition, I now have hindsight. Hindsight is, so now I see clearly. But I had to discipline myself to make some faith decisions in the disruption and then work those through until I got to the other side. Now looking back, it's like, oh, phew. I'm glad I was at Crossline Church on November 29th. And this crazy Pacific Islander was up there waving his hands and talking about digging in copper out of the hills and telling me that I need to focus spiritually right now to get to where God wants to take me. Now, we've been working out of the Old Testament. It's just a vignette for when God takes his people through a disruption and into a destination. But you know what I love about Jesus? Jesus had to usher his disciples into a new era, right? It was a new era. Messiah was anticipated, and then Messiah was here. And that meant new ways to be, new ways to believe, new ways to behave. And there was a group of people who really liked the old way. Isn't that always true? Like, change is hard and I'm comfortable with what I know. Are you one of those people that orders the same thing from the menu every time? Don't elbow anybody. But you know what I'm saying? We like the comfort of familiarity. And one day, Jesus is with his guys and the disciples of John the Baptist, who definitely do things a certain way, they're kind of examining this new group of guys who are doing things a different way. And it says this in Matthew 9, "Then John's disciples came and asked him, 'How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' Jesus answered, 'How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast.'" And then he continues, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into what? New wineskins, and both are preserved." Right? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, same cannot hold the new. This disruption has introduced some new things to our church, some new and precious things. And guess what? It's a new skin. It's a new wineskin. The old Crossline Church is not going to be the same as the new Crossline Church. And this disruption is causing a shift, and there's some things that are going on. You see, when God is moving in a strong way, listen to me. If you don't get anything from this message, please listen right now. The new doesn't improve the old. The new replaces the old. The new doesn't improve the old. The new replaces the old. Old and stagnant could not be reformed. As Jesus is talking with them, he's like, "Hey, you know what? This is a new thing. It's a new thing." You know what Jesus is saying to many of you right now? It's a new thing. It's a new season of life. It's a new way. It's a new chapter. There's some new things that are happening. And guess what? You may not know what they all mean, or you might know what people they might involve, but you can know this. I'm bringing you into that good land. I'm bringing you into that good space. I'm with you. That's all you need to know for now. God is forming a new you. He's forming new communities. He's forming new chapters, new giftings, new callings, new transitions. He's bringing new people together, and it's time to say yes to this next new movement of ministry. So as the guys come out, and as we prepare to sing a song called New Wine, I just want to ask you a question. Are you hanging on to the old when God is calling you into the new? And could it be that there's some new people in your future? Maybe a new community. Maybe some new connections. Maybe a new physical location. Maybe a risk that you have to take to be generous in some way or fashion with your time or your treasure. Could it be that God is saying, "You know what? This is my counsel. This is my encouragement. Just really focus your energy spiritually, because I'm moving powerfully." We're gonna sing a song, New Wine, right now. I want everybody to stand. And I'm gonna let God call you into this moment in time and to some new destinations.